I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good evening. As your area bishop, I am so pleased to be with you tonight at the Church of St. Peter and St. Simon as we celebrate the Feast of the Nativity of our Lord. Last Christmas, would we ever have imagined that Christmas 2020 would consist of just 10 people in this large and beautiful church, with everyone else joining us from home? It would have been inconceivable. But here we are, celebrating this way for the safety and protection of each other. So thank you for joining us tonight. I know it's not perfect, watching the Eucharist be celebrated, but not being able to receive Christmas communion. Hearing the carols and singing along from home, but not being able to raise our voices together. But you know, this is our best offering, and I believe that what we are doing here tonight is pleasing in God's sight. I am so grateful to you, Father Jeff, Father Michael, the staff, choir, church wardens, the tech team tonight, for making all of this possible. And I know that we are celebrating Christmas in the best way possible. Make some room. Make some room. That's the cry of our young twins when they crawl into our bed at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Make room. Now, those of you who have children will understand the irony that after crawling into bed, those same little ones have the uncanny ability to fall asleep again very quickly and usually horizontally in the bed, thereby making absolutely no room for anyone else. The situation in our home has been made worse over the past few months since we brought home our COVID puppy, a 35-pound golden doodle. Believe me, there's not a lot of room in the bed after that. It strikes me that make room is a kind of motto for this COVID-19 pandemic. Make room, please, on the sidewalk, on the bus, at the grocery store, at least 6 feet of room, and please put your mask on before you get too close. The nativity story that we hear tonight is also about making room. In that familiar account from Luke's gospel, Mary and Joseph were on their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's hometown. And when they arrived, it was time for Mary to have her baby. We are not told why, if this was Joseph's hometown, he didn't have a place to stay with family or friends. But it seems he didn't, because they went looking for an inn. But each time they got off their donkey to inquire, there was no room anywhere. Nothing in the available in the first century equivalent of the Holiday Inn or the Best Western. And so Mary and Joseph found rest in a stable, probably with cows and sheep and horses and pigs. We imagine it was cold and damp and smelly. And in this most unlikely place, in this most unseemly and quite unfitting place, their baby, whom the angel Gabriel had announced to Mary, would be great and would be called the Son of the Most High. This baby would be born in lowliness because no one could make room. That's a sad proposition, but it wasn't exactly new. For generations, the God of Israel desired to have room in the hearts of his people. He reached out to them in a covenant with Abraham and Sarah. He delivered them from the hands of their enemies in Egypt by making a dry path through the sea. He sent his own messengers and prophets among the people to teach them about his ways, yet time and again they would not make room. I wonder how often we have refused to make room for God in our lives. How often do we become entrenched, refuse to forgive, hold a grudge, ignore someone in need? In our own world, how often have wars been perpetrated because people can't make room for those who are different? And as we look around the world today, even within our own country and in this city, so often there is no room. Just ask the people who live on the streets outside of this church. And yet, in spite of all of that, God came. In a smelly little manger in backwater Bethlehem, half a world away from anywhere, God came. Were the conditions perfect? Oh no, they were not. The Romans were in control, enforcing their oppressive power over anyone who was not one of their own. Even within Israel, the religious leadership placed an oppressive weight on the back of the people and, as Jesus would later say, did not lift a finger to ease them. No one seemed to be able to make room for God, and yet God came. And so God comes to us in the imperfection of our lives. Even if we feel unready or unworthy, God still comes with the power to transform and renew and recreate. Even in the midst of this terrible pandemic, when nothing in the world seems to be right, God comes here, tonight, in this place, and in the place where you are. For you and for me, and indeed for the world. And as St. Paul writes so powerfully in his letter to the Romans, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ, not life or death, angels nor principalities, powers, height, depth, not a raging pandemic, no, nothing in all creation can separate us from that love which was born in a Bethlehem manger all those years ago. That's what tonight is all about. A few years ago, I remember listening to some clergy being interviewed on CBC Radio 1 on the morning of Christmas Eve. One of them was a priest from our diocese, in fact. And the CBC interviewer was asking the clergy on the panel what they would be preaching about at Christmas. Well, they gave fairly typical answers, which did not seem to satisfy the interviewer at all. But what stories are you going to tell? The interviewer pressed, as if there was some magical tale to be told that would somehow elucidate the great mystery of Christmas. But what other story could we tell tonight, except for the one that comes to life in the pages of Luke's Gospel? Luke tells it brilliantly in the second chapter of his gospel, the account of a journey, a birth, shepherds and angels, and the glory of God. Or the story as it comes to life in John's amazing poetry in the first chapter of his gospel, which we will hear a little bit later at the blessing of the crib. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the story that is at the heart of our incarnational faith. God came here as one of us. Such was God's love for the world. Now, I do happen to think that other stories can illuminate the truth of the gospel as recorded in the pages of Scripture, and some of them come from some unlikely sources. Consider for a moment the Grinch. Yes, that's right, the Grinch who stole Christmas. Do you remember when his evil plot to steal Christmas away had absolutely no effect on the residents of Whoville? The Grinch began to ponder what this event called Christmas was really all about. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say, the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day. And if you remember the animation, the Grinch's chest cavity actually breaks open like a broken spring, unable to contain the Grinch's growing heart. You see, the Grinch finally got it. Christmas means that there is no room for anything that constrains the power of love. This baby boy whom we celebrate tonight, for whom there was no room in the inn, would, through his teachings and example, his life and his death, his resurrection and ascension, make room for everyone. The tax collector and sinner, the prostitute and the leper, the blind and the lame, you and me. No one was written off. Everyone was given room. So too for us. No matter our past, no matter the baggage we carry around with us, and Lord knows we all do, no matter the fears that well up inside of us these days, just stepping out the front door with a mask on, tonight declares that God triumphs over all of these things, because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That's the purest love, a sacrificial love. And we ought to love others in that same way. Those who are written off and marginalized in our own time, those who are lost and forgotten, those who are sick and afraid and alone, these are the ones for whom we are asked to make room for the sake of Jesus Christ. I want to close tonight by sharing some words of Madeleine L'Engle from her poem, First Coming, maybe known to some of you. I've always loved this poem, but I especially love it this year, because so much was not right back then, and so much seems not right now. But L'Engle reminds us that God did not wait until the world was right or ready or until there was room before coming among us. She writes, "He did not wait till the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait till hearts were pure. In joy he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours of anguished shame, he came and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice. For to share our grief, to touch our pain, he came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. In this uncertain time, in this tangled world which does not mesh, when our instinct is to withdraw from it all, may we dare tonight to step out in faith and rejoice again in the splendor of this holy night. For this Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Let us make room tonight and always. Merry Christmas. Amen.